Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Hallelujah. And glory to God. All right, welcome to service this evening. Tell someone beside you, say welcome to service. All right, are you ready for the word of God? Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so I'm just going to pray. We're going to say, Father, I'm ready for your word. I'm ready to receive all that you have for me in this service. As the word of God comes this evening, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. Truth prevails here. There is no room for error. In the mighty name of Jesus, can you just pray 1 minute that wherever you are? Just pray 1 minute. Say, my heart is ready for the word of God. Just pray 1 minute and say, I'm receptive to the word of God today. That the word of God comes with simplicity and it comes with power, able to transform my life. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Shout glory. All right, we're going to continue our teaching series today on new creation realities. We started a teaching series titled, What New Creation Reality? And then we started Blessed Part 1. And today we're going to try to talk about Blessed Part 2. Open your Bibles with me very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All right, let's read together. 1, 2, go. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God. So that text literally says, it says, all scripture is given by the Spirit of God. What does that mean? That scripture is God breathed. Amen? What does that mean? That God inspired scripture. I've explained that to you time and time again, that even though it was written by the hand of men, we believe that the inspiration is from who? From God. And that's how scripture is gotten. And the Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for, number one, doctrine. What does doctrine mean? What we believe and what we teach. That's doctrine. Amen? So doctrine is what? What we believe and we teach. So we get our doctrine from scriptures, not from how we feel, not from our experiences, not from what feels good. We get doctrine from where? From scriptures. So all scripture must influence doctrine, not parties. It's all scripture. And this is what makes up the belief system of any church, scripture. Are you getting what I'm saying? Doctrine shouldn't be gotten from any other source, but from where? From the scriptures. Hallelujah. The lyrics of our songs, everything that we do must be gotten from scriptures, because these are documents of the dealings with God as revealed to mankind. Amen? Hallelujah. Number two is what? Reproof. What's the Greek word for reproof? Elenko. E-L-E-N-G-C-H-O. Elenko. So, Elenko means evidence. So we get evidence of what we believe from where? From scripture. For proof. Amen? So that's where we get, you know, proof from. Number three is what? For correction. That is, we're instructed and we're corrected through the scriptures. Does that make sense? And so we must be humble enough to take correction and instruction when it is from the word of God. Hallelujah. Every good Bible student, every good believer must be willing to be instructed and to be corrected through the scripture. We see scripture as the highest authority. Does that make sense? And then lastly, for what? Instruction in righteousness. That means that instruction and education and training in righteousness must be done from where? Scripture. That is the teachings. So, and that's why it will not be right for me as a pastor, as a man of God, to teach you 90% of my experiences and 10% from the word of God. Run away. Amen? Because I must teach you solely from scriptures. And yes, a pastor might teach you from his experiences, but it must be in line with what the scripture says. Amen? This is how we stay in sound doctrine. And so we must be willing to receive correction and instruction in righteousness from the scriptures. Hallelujah. This would be a precursor to what I'm about to say next. James chapter 1 and verse 22, everybody. All right, James chapter 1 and verse 22, what does the Bible say? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. What does that mean? The Bible is instructing you now that you should be doers of the word and not hearers only. And it's also sort of implying that people who are hearers only are what? Deceiving themselves, because it's not enough that you've heard, but how can you marry those two things together? How can you not just be a hearer of the word, but also be a doer of the word? Are you listening to me? So let's be hearers and doers of the word. He goes ahead in verse 23. Let's read together. One, two, go. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What is he saying? He's teaching you how you're going to be a doer. He says, don't be a hearer only. He says, be a doer as well. Then he says, he that is a hearer is one who looks at himself in a mirror, but forgets what type of person he is. So he's already teaching you how to be a doer. He's already teaching you that to be a doer of the word, it is by keeping in retention who you are. Because he said the hearer alone looks at himself in a mirror, but when he goes away, he forgets what type of man he is. Does that make sense to everybody? So being a doer has a lot to do with retention. Please, are you learning something? Being a doer has a lot to do with what? Retention, how much you're able to keep in your memory. Have you ever had a situation where you haven't seen someone in a long time and you begin to forget their face? Has that happened to anybody before? Well, it has happened to me before. Have you been in a situation where you've had to forget someone's face before because you haven't seen them in a while? Yeah. So, James is used analogy of forgetting your face to teach you how to keep in retention the word. Are you listening to me? So he's saying that a person who is a hearer only is akin to a person, for example, who sees someone, but because you've not kept the memory of that person in mind for long, you've not seen the person frequently, you forget the person's face. But if you keep the person's face frequently in your sight, that is, you get to see the person every day, you look at the person's picture every day, well, you won't forget the person's face. What he's saying with that is this: if you keep the word of God in your mind, if you retain the word of God, that's how you can be a doer. But if you cannot retain in your mind the word of God, that is by bringing it to your sight every single time, you would only be what? A hearer. So how do we become a doer of the word? Well, by doing what? Retaining, finding ways to retain in our consciousness the word of God that we've received. Does this make sense to everybody? Praise God. Are you all following me? This is important. So he's saying be doers. He's encouraging you to keep in memory the things you've learned. That's what he's telling you to do. And the only way that you be a doer is to keep in memory. That's the only way. So when we say, oh, make sure you revise your notes after 7, it's because the only way you can be a doer is by keeping in your mind, by retaining in your consciousness the things that you've learned. Please, are you following me? He talks about the doer of the word. He says that's the one who's not a doer. He says that's the forgetful one. He says the doer is the one who remembers. So as long as you retain in your consciousness the word of God, who you are, well, you will be able to not just hear the word, but also act on the word of God. Listen, this is very important. Keeping fresh in your memory. Because listen, it will not matter that I've taught you new creation realities, who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are as a new man. It would not matter if you're not a doer. You can live here on Sunday and face depression on Monday. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can live here on Sunday and be sad the next day. And you wouldn't even know who truly you are. Because you've forgotten everything. You've forgotten your realities in Christ. You've forgotten all the benefits that Christ has afforded you. So what this is trying to teach you is how to connect your Sunday to every other day. How do you ensure that you are not a carnal man every other day of the week and a man of the spirit only on Sundays and on Thursdays? How do you ensure? Because it won't matter that I'm teaching you here if there's no true transformation in your life. Are you following me? It won't matter. It won't matter. It won't matter that I stand up here on the pulpit teaching you every Sunday if you can't retain it in your consciousness. This is why we do midweek services. It's not for church growth.
It is to help you retain in your consciousness that on Sunday, yes, you came to church, but you've had Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and there's a possibility that you've forgotten. You need some edification. So we say, okay, there should be a service on Thursday. Do you see what I'm saying? To help you retain in your consciousness. It's why there's a prayer meeting on Friday. It's why we set the structures to help you retain in your consciousness as much as possible that you are edified every day. Because are you following me? So the benefits of consistent edification, prayer times, will have an effect on you living spiritually every day. So if you want to live conscious of who you are spiritually every day, well, you have to find ways to retain in your consciousness. So telling you to come and pray in the morning is because we don't want to see your face. No, that's not why. It's not because we want to hear your voice. It is for you. It is a structure that will keep you in check. For example, you can't continue to struggle with habits if you start your day praying. Are you seeing what I'm saying? How many of you know what I'm talking about? So you start your day praying the right way. You set your day in order. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You're praying, you set up yourself in the spirit, you subdue the things of the flesh. Well, you can live above sin. But guess what? You pray on Sunday, Lord, help me with this. I'm struggling with this. You get counseled. Lord, help me with this. I struggled with this. You talk to your pastor. You're counseled. You're helped about the things. But then after Monday, you remember. On Sunday, you remember. On Monday, you remember. Well, on Tuesday, you forget. Chances are that by Wednesday, you fall back to that sin. Because I get what I'm saying. But what if you follow the structures that are set? This is why we have those meetings. This is why church sets meetings so that at every, almost every other day, there is one form of edification or the other, something to strengthen you, something to keep your spirits alive. This is important. Are you following me? So if you're still finding it hard to make meetings frequently, making this, you know, finding it hard to make this your reality, you have to strive harder. There are many things that have happened to you that cannot be sustained without structure. Amen. Are you learning something? Yes, you've been saved. You've been transformed. But it will take structure to sustain it. What did I say? It will take structure to sustain it. So on Monday, yes. Are you a believer or not? Or maybe Monday, are you a carnal man? Because there's no service. So who are you on Monday? Who are you on Tuesday? Carnal man? Or a believer? Who are you on Wednesday? Carnal man? Or believer? So maybe you remember, oh, Thursday midweek service, I'm going to come to church. Man of the Spirit. Who are you on Friday? Who are you on Saturday? So, you have to make it such that you're not living a double life. You see what I'm saying? You're a man of the Spirit every day of the week. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're a man of the Spirit every day of the week. You are edified every day of the week. That way, you're able to live above the flesh. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Do you go out during the week and you're a totally different person? Please, are you listening to me? That the person you are in Christ is the person you are every day. The only way to sustain that is by structure. That's why we have structures. Now, I'll tell you something, and I can assure you, this has happened with, I won't say thousands, rather, hundreds of people. That's more accurate. If you follow the structures that are set for you in church, you will have better results. You get what I'm saying? Better results. I can assure you this, 100%. Because we've seen results. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Not in one, not in two, not in 20, not in 70, in hundreds. We've seen results. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We've seen results. Follow the structures. Follow the structures. Morning prayer is set for you. Do you show up? Listen, think I don't want to sleep too? But you see, it's there because starting your day right, charging up your day, already keeps your mind in the right place with the right focus. You do that, you start your day, you're playing a song as you're going, you're plugged. Listening to a sermon as you're going to work. You've already set that day in a way where the flesh would not take over. You see what I'm saying? This is how retention in your memory works. It's important. And that's the thing about spiritual growth. You don't decline after you slack once. No. decline when it comes to spiritual growth, or backsliding when it comes to spiritual growth, is a summation of little and small rejections gathering until you just become alone in your corner. Listen, please learn what I'm teaching you. It will save you. Have you ever heard of the searing of the conscience? Where every nudging you get to do the things that are good, the things of the spirit that you reject, make it harder for you to do it next time. Are you listening to me? It makes it what? Harder for you to do it next time. And please pay attention to this. So you had a nudge that, oh, you know, you didn't want to come to church. And you had a nudge, oh, I'm going to come to church. You didn't want to do the things of the spirit. And you had a nudge, I'm going to do the things of the spirit. Now, if you feel that nudging, I bet you, one would not make a difference. But little small neglecting of the gathering of believers, little small rejections of promptings to edify yourself, to keep yourself above the flesh, little small promptings are what accumulates. So in the end, you just see yourself 2 months, you've not been in church. You've not done things of the spirit. You know, there's a story of a guy who I was discipling at some point. I called him. I said, you're treading a very dangerous path if you continue this way. Make sure that you make sacrifices if you need to be here. As I speak to you now, almost 2 years, he's not prayed, not been in church. Why? The searing of the conscience. How many of you, have you ever seen your mom carry pot off a hot stove and you try to do the same thing and it burns your hand? Yeah, and I'm like, why are you able to do that? Like, you're just lifting up hot stuff, you know, off the cooker, and it's not hurting you. Well, what has happened there is something called, she has done it on and on and on, that she sort of burnt those receptors. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That send that pain, you know, response to the brain. And she has done it over and over and over again, that there's been a searing, so she can't even feel it. That's what you do to your conscience every single time you reject those nudgings. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so they become less sensitive to things of the spirit. So you get comfortable. So at some point in time, you were scared that, oh my God, I have to do this. I have to pray if I want to keep my relationship with God. But well, you've done it once, nothing happened. You are okay. You've done it twice, nothing happened. You're okay. You've done it 3 times, nothing happened. You're okay. Well, how about I make not praying normal? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. If you stop praying, you're not going to die. Life is going to continue the way life has been going already. Do you see what I'm saying? I'll tell you the truth. People might even feel that, oh, I have more time to face my business. But that's the thing. You've cut away a reliance on God totally. So I take life as it comes. Amen. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So when it comes down to spiritual growth, you want to be very careful to check every point. And I believe that that's the problem that many believers had growing up. So there was a nonchalance to how the gospel was presented to them that they never saw a need to keep checks and balances in places. And so till there was a total backsliding, some people never knew. Why do we have parents who tell us, oh, I used to be there, I used to be fervent. What happened to you now? Why did you drop your fervency? Are you seeing what I'm saying? So life would happen, things will happen in life that if you don't set structures to keep you in check, you would flow as life comes. Please, are you following me? And many of the things that will stop you from doing the things of the Spirit will be valid. Is that shocking? They'll be valid. Is having a kid not valid? It's valid. So, you have 2 ways to respond. Either I set a structure that allows myself and my family prioritize going to, you know, church and coming back to settle all the things we want to settle, or I give into it and I say, you know what, I've got a kid now, I don't think church is priority anymore. I let it go. You see what I'm saying? So, oh, I've got to cook. Well, do we go to church as a family, then come back and I do the cooking? Or, we're not going to church today, I've got to cook. So, you see what I'm saying? It will be valid. But structure. Because they are valid, but you're going to have to place priorities. And I'm telling you, some people around you might not be able to fathom the kind of priority you placed on the things of God. But this is about your relationship with God, not anybody. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's about you and God. So this is important. If you don't set a structure, you'll be surprised where you get to. What was I talking about before? The searing of conscience. Little tiny rejections of nudges. I told you when I was coming here, I said, you know what? Apart from Thursday services, midweek service, where I dress like this, every Sunday, I would make sure I'm corporate or I'm wearing a full trad. Because the moment I begin to take light, the sacredness of my responsibility, I'm training you to take light the sacredness of my responsibility as well. And you see what I'm saying? So, I will not take light the responsibility. I will not take light the office. And you see what I'm saying? I would not take light the things that come with it. Listen, this some people see us as weird when it comes to church. And I'll tell you why. For example, we come to church wearing our Sunday bests. Do Sunday bests even exist anymore in this part of the world? Well, because we honor God enough to say that, you know what, I'm going somewhere that is not just a joke. So I'm not just going to slide in my slides. I'm not just going to go in. I'm going to go because I know that I'm going somewhere important. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Those were checks and balances that were set to help us honor God and the gathering of believers. We threw them away. Those little things matter. Because every time, for example, you come and instruction is given, you don't follow it. What you've just done at that time is that you've trained your heart that this is not important enough for me to give it my time. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So, for the sake of your heart, it might even be better to make sure that every time of prayer you set for yourself, you make it so that you don't, you know, teach your body that, you know what, oh, it's okay to just miss it or not do it. You have to begin to keep it. That's how you build structures. Habits are harder to build. Like good habits, rather, are harder to build. Bad habits are very easy to build. Amen. And this is psychological, just generally. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So you're going to have to set structures, and this is important. So declining does not happen magically. It just goes poof. How does it happen? Well, I get a new job. I don't have time. That's the thing. One structure will never sustain you for a whole year. You might have to rebuild the structure. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because your life is not constant for the whole year as well. Things change. You might travel. When you travel, are you setting structures to accommodate where you've gone to? Compared to the way we were praying when we were back home, well, when I got here, oh my God, I was so shocked. The walls were so thin. So I was in this Airbnb, and well, I said, God, how am I going to pray? I like to pray, you know, in a way that I'm expressing myself well. So for a while, I couldn't pray. I went to a park down on Grove. I don't know if you know Grove, Campbell and Grove. You know, there's a park if you go in. I went to the park. I tried to pray. My voice was echoing. I was like, God, what is going on here? What am I going to do? And it's like back home where you can just walk into any church and nobody's going to disturb you. You know, church is the house of God. You know, most churches are probably closed or something, you know, or you need to request access. So how am I going to pray? How am I going to keep up my devotion? How am I going to continue to talk to God? So I tried praying silently, you know, just continue talking to God silently and stuff like that. But it just wasn't working for me, you know. One day I had to pick my pillow and I was just screaming inside my pillow like, oh my God, I need to pray. I was that frustrated. But I needed to start creating newer structures. Are you getting what I'm saying? Newer structures. The work-life balance here is a bit different where we're chasing, you know, those figures every day. I don't think anybody regards a Sunday as a day off anymore in this part of the world. We grew up sort of revering Sunday, like, oh, separated to the Lord, the Sabbath, right? But now it's not like that. So what am I going to do? Well, I take a job, I tell you, I'm not available on Sunday. You either take me or you don't take me. No matter the free will we have, some things have to be sacred. Some things we must take. See, you can't touch this one. It's sacred. It's consecrated to, it's given to someone else, someone beyond me. It's sacred. I can do whatever I want, but you know what? You can do whatever you want as well, but this one don't touch. Please, are you listening to me? So, we must find ways to keep in memory. For example, going through your notes to keep in memory. For example, listening to sermons. There are about 169 sermons on the podcast. You have a lot to catch up on. A lot to catch up on. And you've not even started. A lot to catch up on. So what do you need to do? Get earphones. Don't waste the 30 minutes commute to work. Plug your ears and keep listening. See, immerse yourself in the Word of God. Are you listening to me? Immerse yourself in the Word of God. It's very important. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. It's very important. So plug your ears, keep listening to the sermons. That thing you're struggling with has a solution in the Word. But that's the thing. Devil never allows you. You know, have you ever, I don't know how many of you, maybe you never, you didn't want to join prayer meeting, but the moment you joined, you started praying, you're like, oh my God, thank God I joined. You know, there's just that thing where you're like, oh my God, I don't want to do it. But the moment you do it, it's the same thing with podcasts. You know, there are some sermons that if you listen to on this podcast, you will pray like no man's business. I just, there are some sermons that if you listen to, you will study the way you want to eat the Word. You know the sermon. For example, Grow. I've been telling you since. The prayer, just click play. That play. Maybe I've not been able to click. But that's the thing. You have to break away from that. When you learn what I'm teaching you, many of the problems you're struggling with will disappear. How can I keep in memory that I'm blessed? Regardless of the circumstance. Hard times will shake you less when you keep in memory who you are. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Are you learning something? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely, that your progress might be what? So this is Paul telling Timothy that he should give himself entirely to the Word, that his profiting will be what? Evident. So believers have the responsibility to keep the admonition of scriptures fresh in their mind. Meditate on it. Give yourself wholly to it, that your profiting may be what? Visible. So when we see you and we see your way of life, we can tell that, oh, this guy has grown. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because he has the admonition of scriptures fresh in his mind. 2 Timothy 3:16, what does it say? Given by the inspiration of God, profitable for what? And for what? Structure. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave apostles for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. Till we what? Come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of perfect man or complete man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, craftiness whereby they wait in lie to deceive. It's still on. I can still continue to say it, right? That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul the Apostle unto the church in what? Unto the saints that are in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus, and peace, Father, Jesus Christ, all right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he has chosen us in him to be holy and to of the earth, to be what? Holy and blameless before him in love, So adoption of sons. Some of you are reading it. I know you are reading it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall what? Abide with you for your progress and what? Joy of faith. Keep the admonitions of scriptures fresh. There are some texts which you know already because we say it every single time. If you are listening to that podcast, you will know it because we say this text almost every single time. Keep the admonition of scripture fresh. Become one with the Word of God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Like, allow the Word of God to, I don't know the best way to explain it to you. Keep the admonitions fresh. Keep listening. Keep studying. Keep growing. Keep getting better. Keep getting better. That when we observe you, we say, ah, for sure. So that's growing. You know, it was Pastor John Piper, you know, that said one time, he was called. I think someone just died. So he was called, you know, to come there. And then someone said, oh, hi, Pastor John, can you just give us a word of encouragement? And then he froze. No text came to his mind. He said, from that day, started memorizing scriptures. I will never be caught. Oh, no. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Keep the admonitions of scriptures. When you're going through hard times, what do you remember? Last, good day, all right. Or you got the text. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Keep the admonitions of scriptures in your heart. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. About to round up, so Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. What does the Bible say? My example. And note those who also walk as you have what? Us a pattern. So you have in us a pattern. So what is he saying? That they should walk after their step, because they have a pattern in them. You see, Christianity, I've always told you, is a taught faith. There's a culture that must be passed along. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's what a culture that must be what? Passed along. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, the Bible says, and the things that you heard of me of many witnesses, the same commits to what? Faithful men who would also be able to teach others. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the things you've heard, he said you should commit to who? Faithful men. That's how the gospel has been passed across. Faithful men received it. Are you receiving it the way you should? I've told you that when it comes to the faith, innovation in Christianity is synonymous to what? Error. Meaning that we don't invent new things. Are you seeing what I'm saying? When it comes to doctrine, we can invent new ways of passing across the message. But when it comes to the message, we don't invent new things. The same gospel is the same gospel that has always been. So we pass down what we received. But the problem is this: are you receiving it the way you should? So you can pass it down the right way without error. Please, are you following me? For example, there's something called church decorum. And not a lot of us know about it. Are you following me? Something called church decorum. The Apostle Paul addresses things in the Corinthian church. I think in 1 Corinthians 13, 14, 15, moving forward, he addressed church decorum. How do you do things in church? How do you respond in church? How do you act in church? A person who is growing must begin to drop some traits of immaturity in the faith. That's what I mean. For example, not praying before service. Now I'm here to instruct you. Not praying before service. No mature believer would be wanting to prepare for a service and not prayerfully prepare. Because you're going to set the pace. Lord, I'm ready to receive from this meeting. My heart is open. My mind is alert. I'm ready. Let my heart be in the right place. Let my focus be there. Because you know that it's possible for you to be in a meeting and you're not blessed. And you see what I'm saying? But when you're more prepared, you're putting your focus and you're putting your attention there that, see, I'm ready. Whatever you have for me, I'm ready to receive it. So praying before service should become a normal culture, not gisting. Amen. There's a culture in the body of Christ generally, but even in this local assembly, there's a culture to begin to pray before service. It's not a time to gist. Once you walk through the door, just say, Chief, it could be, it's you and God. Amen? Pray. Like chatting and talking during service. What? Like, you need to start. Why you need that? I'm listening to the word. And that's the thing. When you begin to treat the word of God with so much reverence, when it comes to those meetings, you're not going to be very easily inclined to someone disturbing you. Like, sometimes it gets so bad in church. Like, can you just listen? Amen. Once we're done with the service, you can go and talk. I'm giving you instruction on the culture of the church. You know, there has to be some form of decorum. Please, are you following me? It's an atmosphere of Jesus. So, you know, we can talk after the service. It's not time for side comments. I'm here also as a student of the word of God. Amen. Number three, things like late coming to church. Where did we pick up such habits? Please, are you listening to me? Like, do I need to see any more? I don't think so. We see no biblical examples. I think that's where we should start from. We see no biblical example. Like where? Because when something is said, well, you know it is a meeting with God. Why am I coming late? Amen. Even me, who is serving the Lord by serving you, I don't come late. So, if we're being honest, it is rude. It's a huge dishonor. Not even to me, to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it's a meeting time. So let's honor it. You don't go late for an interview, do you? So why is this the one you want to communicate for? Amen. You don't take notes. These are cultures. You see, Christianity is an orthodox faith. Orthodoxy is not a denomination. It's what we should be. We should be orthodox, following the ways of the early church. Are you getting what I'm saying? We should be orthodox. These are the things we see in scripture. How did they respond to the word? This is important. So, it's understandable for new and growing believers. But you've been here 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. You've heard the instructions. Begin to change. Begin to grow. We have a culture in the church. This is important. You know, Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I've sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ. So, there's something called his ways in Christ, meaning the traditions of the church. And that's what I'm reminding you of now. Amen? So, I'm reminding you of. I've said it again. Christianity is what? Without faith. The culture of Christianity must be what? Passed down. Hallelujah. I'll ask you a question. If Jesus were to walk into a service, will you be doing what you used to do? Or will you sit up and make adjustments? How about you attend every service knowing that or believing that Jesus is sitting right next to you? Are you getting what I'm saying? The things you wouldn't do if you were directly before him, don't do in his absence. Is that fair enough? Yeah. Amen. On the basis of how I started this teaching, that scripture is how we are instructed, we must make corrections. We must make corrections. Amen. We must do better with study, with praying, with our focus to the word, with prioritizing things of God. We must do better. Like I told you before, your local church is like your Bible school. We're disciples in the word. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there's a growth process. There's a curriculum. That's what we must know. It's why you can't come from one meeting and miss the other. It's why, you know, there's what you must learn moving forward. And it's not for me, it's for you. Because are you getting what I'm saying? So we're going to pray. We're going to say, Lord, help me to be a better student of the word. Help me to be a better disciple in your word. Can you just begin to pray wherever you are? And just say, Lord, help me. Help me be a better disciple. Correct myself, correct my ways, and I do better with respect to my service to you. Can you just pray wherever you are, everybody?